Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Caitlin alongside halfway through the show today, getting you to that weekend. And perhaps more, you know, more vacation time for you if you've got it, because next week is New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
Oh, I got my vacation time all lined up. Super Bowl week, draft week.
Super Bowl week.
Oh, yeah, draft week.
You're taking off Super Bowl
opening game of the season next year.
Oh.
Oh, I'm lining it up. Thanksgiving games.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good stuff, Bob.
Because, you know, Peyton, he had to take off because of night games.
Yeah, he did. He did.
So, well, I proposed Monday, so, you know, that's why I took off.
Again, what'd she say? What did she say?
Well, it was the fourth time she said yes, so.
The fourth time? The
first three times she said no. Finally, she said
yes. Oh. Oh, okay.
Did she really say no?
No.
Oh.
Was it a thought in your mind ever when no. you did it, when you proposed?
Oh, no.
Look at me. Look at you.
Come on.
Kristen saw the bank account.
Yeah. Look, she she knew she was getting rescued.
All right. Yeah. She was getting rescued.
Oh, man.
Yeah. From a life of mediocrity.
Oh, you're the white knight. You're the white for a life of
sounds
mediocrity.
Sounds about white.
Yeah, you are the white.
It's just going to be Shaw drops all day.
Yeah. People are loving it. People are loving it, Peyton. Keep them coming. Let's say, before we get to Cowboys roster building, let's pick the game this week. They do play Philadelphia this weekend.
Likely without Jalen Hurts.
Likely without Jalen Hurts. So that throws a wrench into the whole thing.
It does.
To me, if Jalen Hurts plays, I'm picking Philadelphia. If Kenny Pickett plays, I'm picking the Dallas Cowboys. So as of right now,
no,
I'm assuming that Hurts does not play. So I'm going to say the Cowboys win this one 20-13.
Okay. I think that, boy, this is, by the way, and you'll hear Mike McCarthy again here at 8:40. Do you think he sounded like a guy without a lot of pressure? Didn't he sound
McCarthy?
Loose? Yeah, didn't he sound loose? And
he did sound loose. He sounded, let me say, he sounded at peace.
I think he thinks he's coming back. I don't know if he's been told that, but I think he believes he is.
I think he believes he is. Yes. He may not have been told that, but.
But I think that's what he is reading.
And right, and you know what may have happened is.
Because that was as loose as we've heard him all year.
Perhaps without Jerry telling him, maybe Jerry is. Or somebody has contacted his agent asking for a meeting.
He's just, yeah.
A schedule meeting.
It struck me that he felt confident. Now, look, I still think that Philadelphia does a lot of things really well. I don't think Philly wants to lose to Dallas under any scenario. I think they're going to try hard, especially after Micah talked about how much he hates them recently. And so I think that this is a game where they just lean into Saquon Barkley and take advantage of that. And Philly's defense is really, really strong. They can pose a lot of challenges for Dallas's offense. So I'm going to pick Philadelphia in this game. I'm going with a low scoring game. I'm going to go 20-17 Philadelphia. But again, if Philly doesn't feel like they have much to play for or they're a little lackadaisical, it would not surprise me at all if Dallas won this game, just like we were talking about last week with Tampa Bay. But I'm going to pick Philadelphia.
All right. Peyton, what do you think?
It all comes down to, like you said, RJ, if Hurts plays. If Hurts does not play, I really like how the Cowboys have been playing lately. Cooper Rush gets another crack at Philadelphia. Remember last year he played on the road? I think Eagles got out to like a 24-0 lead. Then the Cowboys came back, almost won that game. But I have the Cowboys winning 24-20 if Hurts does not play.
Wow, you like the over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And by the way, this is going to be a rain game.
It is.
This is a rain game.
I love the under 14-10
here. Now,
I love the under in this one, baby.
So they were practicing wet ball drills and everything else. This strikes me as a running game here.
Okay. Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, I like the under in this one. The under over under is 39. 39 Ooh. Change. It's a low one. There's two. There's a couple this week that are low totals. So I picked the Cowboys 20-13.
I got 20-17 Eagles.
And Peyton
24-20 Cowboys.
24-20 Cowboys. Okay.
And also, I need to make sure that we don't get the eighth victory of the season for the Cowboys.
Oh, I
need
I have to lose this next two. Baby.
Why?
Because I'm supposed to shave my head bald if they win eight games.
That's right. Well, they're going to beat
Washington. I just said it very flippantly on the air. I was like, yeah, this is all shit, my ball. And now I'm committed to it.
All right.
So are we supposed to do that on the air?
Yeah, I think so. I got a barbell come up and do it for us.
Walt?
No.
Oh,
somebody else.
No. Okay. All right. So we've got a, and get your picks in on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Over on the YouTube, Kid Cowboy 66 says 33-23 Dallas. William Bernie says Philly 30, Cowboys 20, no CD is a killer. That's the other thing we got to remember here. There is no CD Lamb in the next two games, and that's significant. All right, so get those in on the fan text, and we'll read those out as we get to the end of the segment. Chop, we were talking about this earlier this week, and we previewed it a little bit earlier today, too. Is the fact that Dallas is playing better with injuries and worse players, quote-unquote, is this evidence that the Cowboys are good at acquiring talent, but they're bad at team building?
Well, I've always thought that they were good at acquiring talent. I don't think, though, that the team has ever, at least recently, cared about positional value. And they worry more about whether a player is good versus the position of importance. And that's why they drafted, like, linebackers an awful lot and running backs during the Garrett era. And, like,
it doesn't I don't think it's the worst philosophy in the world to say, get me a good player.
It's not a bad philosophy. Yeah, it's not the worst philosophy. What it does is it gives you really good balanced rosters. You know, it gives you really good top end talent. What sometimes it does, though, is it leaves you open at areas of vulnerability and weakness. And, you know, am I a need drafter? In a way. If you have a quarterback, you're taking the quarterback in the first round. Right. If you have a running back, you're not taking a running back in the first round. You know what I mean? So, like, there are certain situations where need is okay. But, you know, I mean, if the Cowboys put more emphasis on positional value, I think that they would be a better built roster. I think they're a good talent. They're a talented team that doesn't always play well together. They're good enough to win games. I think everybody talks about, you know, why they don't ever make the conference championship game. Like, I think you can look at how they're constructed and draw kind of some comparisons there.
Yeah, here's the thing is that they clearly, and I've got to get the exact number that we're looking at here. But if you were to just look at over the last, you know, decade, Dallas is going to be way at the top
of in Pro terms Bowls of number of
Pro Bowl players.
They've done a tremendous job.
They are way up near the top in terms of all of that. But the question does, I think, present itself that says, why did things come together so much better after you got ravaged with injuries?
Mm-hmm.
Why, when you were missing so many big-time players on defense, when you were Tyler Guyton got taken out of the lineup, Zach Martin got taken out of the lineup, Dak Prescott got taken out of the lineup, why did you play better football? Jake Ferguson out. Mm-hmm. Why did you play better football?
Mm-hmm.
That's a concern, I think. Like, there's two ways you can look at this. This is either great for your football team, and you look at it and say, well, this is evidence right here that they're a team that can step up, next man up, do that, and that's the positive outlook on it. The negative outlook on it is, are you not properly evaluating what your team is if they play better when they've got worse players in there? And Tyler Guyton is a great talent, I think. Do you know how to make him fit? Chauncey Golston is really playing well right now.
Mm-hmm.
Took 5 years, 4 or 5 years for you to figure out how to play Chauncey Golston.
Right.
It took you 5 years and 10 weeks to realize Rico Dowdle should be starting. It took you an extended period of time to realize Byron Jones should be a cornerback, not a safety. And so when you look at that and go, their talent evaluation is dead on. Their ability to turn that into a cogent contender and a strong contender and a legitimate team, the old Scott Pioli line, it's not the best 53 players, it's the right 53 players. The inability to do that consistently is problematic, and who does that then fall on? Does that fall on coaches making it fit? Does that fall on front office finding the right way to have people fit in?
Well, I think the job of the front office is to find players that fit the coaching staff.
Or just in general.
Or, you know, and it's got to be a give and take, because you also need to have the coach find a system that fits the players.
Is Dak Prescott more talented than Cooper Rush?
Yeah, he's more talented.
Is Tyler Guyton more talented than Chuma Edoga?
I would assume so.
Is Zach Martin more talented than Brock Hoffman?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, at this stage of his career...
Even still, I think skill set, he's better. I think his skills are better. Is Luke Schoonmaker better than Jake Ferguson?
No.
Is, you know, you can go down the list here. Is Chauncey Golston better than DeMarcus Lawrence?
Oh, no.
So why, when those factors, all these better players, why don't they play well with each other? Is that a player issue? Is that a personnel department issue, or is that a coaching issue?
I think it's all of the above. I think you have to put some on all of the above.
Then do you think that in their drafting process they're not doing enough to figure out how do you fit? Because people routinely complained about the idea of scheme fit and other things. Mm-hmm. But are they doing enough to figure out culture fit? Culture fit or chemistry? Does chemistry matter?
I don't know during the draft process that you can figure that out, right?
No, but like, for instance, they've always done one of their big rules consistently, and it bit them, it seems like, on Jalen Tolbert. One of their big rules consistently has been, I need big-name programs. I need players from big-name programs.
That was a Parcells thing. Parcells brought that here.
It's a thing for this team.
Yeah, right, I know, but like, he brought that here with him.
Well, and a lot of people look at it and go, okay, is it because I need to see what they are against level of competition? That's part of it. Another big factor is, are you ready for this? Are you ready for Dallas?
It's a big part of it.
Because if you played it in big-time SEC games at LSU against Alabama and different things like that, that's a better indicator that you're ready than South Alabama.
All right, here, I'm going to give you... So this is an example. Parcells brought this. But they had it here before, too. You know, they did. But most teams draft a lot of guys from smaller schools. But if you go back to the Campo era, I mean, they had West Texas A&M and Southern Miss.
Right, but not generally at the top of the draft, though.
No. Virginia Union, Sacred Heart. I didn't even know Sacred Heart had a team.
That was the hospital in Scrubs.
Right, absolutely. But then you get the Parcells. First year, sixth round, took Zuriel Smith from Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to 2004. Seventh round, took Patrick Creighton from Northwest Oklahoma State. Other than that, it was almost all SEC or Big Ten. And then you get to 2005, and the only one was a sixth rounder. It was Justin Berrio from Ball State. Oh, I'm sorry, DeMarcus Ware from Troy.
You're a man who covered those teams.
Yeah.
The fact that you knew how to say Justin Berrio's name.
Right, and then you get to the following year in 2006. That was Parcells' last draft. They did buck the trend, Hatcher from Grambling in the third round. That was really, like, obviously DeMarcus, but DeMarcus Ware was clearly the, everyone in America had him as a highly touted player in the first round, period.
Yeah.
So, you know, McQuiston at Weber State, but like, it was, Parcells had a, like, he brought that, hey, we're going to go for big school guys. We're not going to be, we don't want to take a kid from North Alabama in the second round all too often.
Yeah,
it's just not a smart way to go.
No, and I do think it's an interesting discussion or an interesting thought process of, have you figured out, you've clearly figured out the players and the talent. Have you figured out how to put it all together? Because right now we would say no, that they don't know how to put that all together to a complete team. Some of the thoughts on the Franklin Frankel injury attorneys fan text. 214 says, the problem with the Cowboys doing better with second string players is simply put, as the second string trust the play calling and are willing to run the plays as they are designed. When you have talent on the field, it's easier for talented players to trust their talent as opposed to trusting the play calling. It's really that simple. 520, I love this take, Bobby. You're welcome. And I think this falls on Jerry. It is the only thing that hasn't changed. Jerry is the problem. 405, Cowboys need to get younger and a new coaching staff. Quit trying to develop players over a period of years. Playing free agency a little more.
Playing free agency. There you go. All right. That's a little bit of talent acquisition from Bobby Belt here on 105.3 The Fan. We started the Rangers off season as we switched to baseball wondering, boy, They got no money to spend. And we are going to end this on track for another every other year Bruce Bochy World Series run. Okay, we'll talk about that coming up next on The Fan.